LA Parks Recreation and Forestry Committee meeting Tuesday, July 23rd, 2019. It is 5:35 p.m.
All right, let's call the meeting to order. We'll start with a roll call. Lee Bougie.
Here.
Bob Ferguson.
Excused.
All right. Angela Kowalczyk-Adrian's here. Dan Fox.
Not here.
Dina Mooney.
Here.
And Danielle Pierquet. Is that
Pierquet?
Pierquet. I'll get that eventually. Pierquet. All right, and Trustee Rob Atwood.
Here.
Okay, the next item, I thought we took care of this on the previous one.
We did.
Okay.
Unfortunately.
Is there some...
There was a mistake on my part. I didn't realize it.
Okay.
Angela, you're only allowed 2 consecutive years to be the chair.
Year. All right.
So this would be your 3rd year. So you're not allowed, evidently. So, right?
Okay.
Make sure you mark this on your calendar that this is the first volunteer position you've
believed So we do have to elect a new chairperson that is not Angela.
All right. So do we have a nomination?
Does anybody want to do it?
How about you, Dina? I know you know how to run these meetings.
Because how long is the term? A year?
Yes, 1 year.
It's pretty easy. Yeah.
I was the couple years before Angela, so I'll give other people an opportunity before I volunteer.
I don't mind if people trust me.
Yep.
And we're very good at stepping in if you can't make a meeting.
Yeah. Well, any other nominations?
No, but I will second.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Who? Okay, so you?
Yeah, so...
I'll take yours as the nomination.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll take a nomination second. Then, then all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. So now it would turn over to
Dina,
right? Is that how
Yes.
Right into the hot seat.
All right. So item 3, modify, adopt the agenda. So any changes? Otherwise, anyone want to have a motion to adopt?
I'll make a motion, or I'll second.
Seconded by Lee. Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Carries. Okay. Approval of the May 28th, 2019 minutes. If there's any...
I'm not sure if it makes a difference. The only thing I saw in them is you have Bob Fry's name spelled wrong from Pickleballs. It's actually F-R-Y, but I'm not sure that makes a difference.
We can make that adjustment, yes.
Not Fray, but Fry.
Correct.
Anybody else have any other changes? Do you move to approve with that change?
With the change.
Okay. Second?
Second.
Danielle seconds. All those in favor say aye.
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 All those opposed? Carries. Public appearances? None. Okay. Information, Emerald Ash Borer update.
Yes. I wanted to give the committee an update on Emerald Ash Borer in the community and kind of what's going on, what we're seeing, where we're going to go into the future, I guess. Currently, we are seeing widespread infestation throughout Alloway. Not only Alloway, all the surrounding communities as well. The concentration locations are on the south end and the north end of the village, which is to be expected. Because we knew prior to that Alloway finding it, we knew DePere had it, and we knew Green Bay had it, so it's kind of moving in. But as you're driving around, if you notice, you know, dead trees or trees, the ash trees that are really thinning, we're really seeing quite a few of them popping up this year. And I guess we expected that. You know, those are the classic signs and the classic time periods of how the Emerald Ash Borer, you know, infests the trees and kind of overtakes the community and the region. So We have estimated on our inventory about 675 to 700 ash trees that are public, that are either along the streets or in our parks or public buildings. So that's kind of a number that we are looking at that we're going to have to deal with in the next, you know, five plus years. But that does not include any of the areas that are, say, along the East River Trail or natural areas and parks or, you know, areas that we don't necessarily count the trees, the wooded areas. Those areas we will typically, you know, remove the trees as they become infested for the safety factor. You know, if they're in the middle of the woods where people really aren't in a park, you know, we'll probably just let it be. But, you know, especially since we're going to have so many more that we'll have to deal with that are more in the public spaces that are will become more hazardous. So, so far this summer, we have on our list 32 ash trees that we're going to be removing. We're going to start that in 2 weeks since we just had a storm that set us back about a week.
How many did you say? 45.
32. And those are the ones that we've either gotten calls on or we've noticed that are really showing declining and to the point that we need to take them out.
And these are on village properties?
Those are on village properties. Whether majority of those are along the streets in front of people's houses, but a few of them are in a couple of the parks, too, that are you know, going to be hazardous, that we want to get them all, you know, so that they don't cause any issues. So, one thing that, and we've heard this from others that have been through it as well, but the tree removals are due to emerald ash borer are going to be a priority for our department, which means that some other operations, some other projects, things like that are going to have to be put on the back burner. The non-essential type of operations, I guess you would say, you know, things that we like to do or, you know, as time allows, might, you know, have to wait. You know, things like landscape maintenance, you know, some of the other projects that we like to get done are just not going to get done. We're going to have to do grass cutting. We're going to have to clean the bathrooms. We got to take care of all diamonds. Those things we have to do in our department. But obviously, you know, taking care of dead trees in the public rights of way are going to take priority. So we're working with our street department staff as well that will be assisting us. So, you know, it'll be a combined effort utilizing us, all of our resources. Take care of this. Excuse me.
What do you do with the wood?
With the wood.
What are you able to do with the wood?
I've got that a little bit later.
Oh, okay.
My little presentation here. So, but no, good question. Good question.
Please refrain from any questions. Right?
otherwise, you'll get me all out of sorts here, and I'll miss something. No, that's fine. One thing with all this work, too, that I anticipate is our budgets for urban forestry operations are going to be strained with the amount of work, and especially, you know, what are we going to do with the debris, whether it's wood chips, brush, things like that. So one thing we'll have to look at come budget time is, you know, is that an operation that we're going to have to look to either transfer some of our funding from, say, you know, park operations to more of the urban forestry, or are we going to have to, you know, potentially look you know, to ask for more or other sources of revenue to help offset. So, and one of those being what we may be able to do with some of our wood waste products or wood. You know, we're working with some of our other communities around here and maybe doing some combined efforts of, can we sell logs? Can we, you know, work with local sawyers to cut wood up into lumber, things like that. Can we, chip some of the wood products and use them for different things, or potentially, work with some of the paper companies, paper company in Kaukauna, potentially buy, if we have a large enough quantity of a product, would buy some of that wood, and we can make some revenue on it. Might not be a lot, but it's better than paying to get rid of it. That type of thing. So,
can I ask a question?
Sure. Go ahead.
There aren't restrictions what you can do with the wood because it's diseased?
No, there are not. Or at least, let me rephrase that. If you remember, there used to be a quarantine on where you can move wood products and where you can move logs to or what. The whole state is considered a quarantined area. You can legally move it anywhere you want throughout the state now. There's no stipulations on, you can't, where you used to not be able to cross county borders, things like that. You can now move it wherever. It's not recommended because it just moves the insects quicker, like the firewood, like we had talked about years ago of not moving firewood. They still don't want you to do that. But if you're moving logs, to a lumber mill or a paper mill or things like that, the restrictions aren't there. It's not as stringent in that. So, like I said before, this is likely going to be obviously a multi-year operation. It's going to take a while, 5+ years probably, of dealing with this. And much like even the Dutch elm disease, we still see Dutch elm disease today. An elm will grow up in a natural area and it'll live for several years and all of a sudden it'll get Dutch elm disease. We'll see the same thing with emerald ash borer. It'll always be around. We'll just have to deal with it. Our best solution into the future is things that we've been working on and we've learned from the past is diversification of your urban forest so that the next insect or disease that comes along doesn't wipe out, your urban forest. So, and lastly, we do have some grant opportunities, especially for tree planting, tree replacements that we're working with, some partners to, help offset costs on purchasing and replanting of the trees. So, we do have that option, which, would be very beneficial in the future.
So because of this, your rate of replacement, are you kind of upping that number, or is this, kind of more urgent, and now you're just focused on removal and you'll replace as needed, or how is that shifting?
I think my gut's going to tell me is we're going to have to put a lot of effort into the removal aspect initially.
Okay.
And then...
That rate's higher than what you had planned initially.
Right. And then, as far as the replacements, we'll do those as we can.
Yeah.
Maybe not to the quantities that we want to. We'll have to spread that out over time. Currently, like our tree plantings, we do it twice a year, in the spring and the fall.
Yeah.
Maybe in the future, we might only be able to do it once per year, because we'll be have to do other operations at the other times. So,
is tree removal seasonal?
It is. Well, and I shouldn't say that. We can do it any time. The ideal times for us is in the winter time because of, especially with the ground being frozen, it makes it a lot easier. And that cleanup's a little bit more difficult because of the snow on the ground, but we can do it any time of the year. So midsummer when it's hot is not ideal.
The 32 that you are doing this year, are those being done this summer?
That's just our summer.
Okay.
We did some last winter,
okay,
and we're starting to create another list that's going to be more of a winter. So in the past, and we may have to adjust this. In the past, what we've done with our removals is we've done them twice a year. During the winter time is our main focus of doing tree removals and a lot of our tree work. And then during the summer, we always get a list. We see trees that die in the spring, and we don't want to wait till the winter, so we'll do them again in the summer. And that, I think those windows are going to lengthen, you know, so that we'll have to do work over a longer extended period of time. So,
is this something that we do ourselves, or we hire? Is it a capacity issue or a funding issue?
Currently we've done all that work in-house with our own staff and own equipment. We're hoping that it won't overwhelm us to a point that we'll have to contract it out. Because my concern is that there'll be limited contractors in the area to do the work, because everybody's going to be in the same boat.
Even in the
and
winter?
The homeowners.
Even in the winter, those contractors stay busy?
You know, there'll obviously be new companies probably popping up.
Yeah.
But we, you know, we as a village don't want to just hire anybody. We want to make sure that, you know, if we went down that road, we would, you know, have pick good, reputable companies. But then going down that road, you're looking at costs.
Are there grants for removal strictly?
Typically, no. Typically, the DNR urban forestry grants are not for operational purposes, and that's considered an operation. We'll do help with reforestation or Emerald Ash Borer readiness plans or things like that.
Yeah.
But as far as the actual hands-on work, they typically don't fund. So.
That's what I saw with that U.S. Forest Service grant, too. They don't want to pay for removals, just the reforestation.
So,
have we considered, you mentioned that what needs to get offset, have we considered areas where mowed grass isn't essential to the use of the park that might open up capacity?
As far as timing, you mean?
Just like, I think you mentioned something about like kind of non-essential things that need to go away, but mowing would have to happen. But I'm wondering, are there open spaces in our system where maybe they're, you know, right now things are really wet, where we mow less or mow less frequently?
And there are a few locations in our park system where that there's a potential to do that. One thing with regards to that particular operation we'd have to be careful of is our ordinances with regards to tall grasses and weeds that are enforced upon all the residents and businesses. You know, we don't want to violate that as well. You know, so we'd have to be careful of some of those type of things. But there are things that maybe we can cut back on doing that would help, you know, free up some time, you know, for our staff. So.
As far as the wood, you mentioned, you know, different urban wood utilization. Are you guys working with DNR? Because I know they have an urban wood utilization specialist.
We have discussed, with them. There are some options there, you know. But once again, it seems like a lot of people want wood for free, and or they want you to pay to get it to them, or things like that. So we're trying to find ways that either don't cost us anything, or we can at least make, you know, some revenue, a little bit of revenue, and not have to pay for it. So, you know, that's the road we're looking down. Other thing is there's an influx of this on the market, of ash wood. Everybody's got it. You know, if you go south of Sheboygan, Manitowoc, Sheboygan, and Fond du Lac, drive down the highway, do you see all the dead woodlots and swamps and just in the countryside? All over the place. Dead trees stand. And that's Emerald Ash Borer. So, you know, we're talking about urban wood here, but there's a ton of wood out in, you know, that's actually marketable timber wood that's hitting the market too.
We're
good.
Okay.
About creating our own little village mulch program where, you know, it's cheaper than it is to buy mulch at Home Depot or something.
No, and we do provide wood chips and mulch to our residents, but I think, we'll be able to know, provide even more in the future.
If you could get us a house somehow, I'd be willing to pay. I have no way of going there to get it, so I have to go to Home Depot, load up the bags, and throw them in the back of my car.
No, and that's a good idea. That maybe that's something that the village might
almost just call a delivery fee or whatever.
Sure, sure.
Yeah.
No.
But even where I moved from, the city parks, they had neighborhood parks every quarter mile, kind of spacing, and so every park would just get a pile in the parking lot throughout the summer.
Oh.
So you had to figure out how to get it from the park, but at least it was only a quarter mile.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
You know, I've got a car, and it was a tarp and a shovel. And,
that's true.
You know, 12 loads later, it was free.
Yeah.
Sweat equity, but it's one way to get it out there.
Yeah.
You can sell little bundles of firewood at the gas stations.
$5 a bundle.
Sell right out here.
Right. It'll cost us $10 to make it, but...
Oh, I think right wrong.
Paying somebody
20,
to cut
20
it up.
For right. The two guys that are going to watch the
right.
One guy who's bundling.
Oh, yeah. So, but okay.
All right. Well.
Any other questions with that? I just wanted to
so
give the committee an update. I'll likely in the next little while give the village board an update on that as well, especially going into budget season. I'm sure that'll be an interest of theirs. So. Good.
All right. The next item is discussion action construction of pickleball courts. So you have some fun stuff.
Yeah. I wanted to get some direction from the committee. At our last meeting, we heard about pickleball. The Packerland pickleball players were here, or a group of them, and gave a presentation. And very good. I appreciated them showing up and giving us some insight. You know, kind of looking for direction from the committee on what they thought, what you guys thought as far as, you know, is this something that the village wants to proceed with, to look into constructing pickleball courts? If so, a location that we can focus on, look towards, and a timing. You know, is that something that we would want to look to do, you know, relatively recent or soon, or, you know, would that be something, you know, within the next 5 years type of a time frame? So, just wanted to, you know, bring that back up for discussion and have the committee make, you know, kind of take an action on it, give staff some direction so that we can start to proceed, if need be, going into budget season with that.
Is everybody here for that?
I think
there were a few options.
Chris, I don't have my notes with me,
sure.
But I thought you were going to pull some numbers together.
I was able to get a rough estimate from one company, which seemed very high to me. One company, we met out on site. We went to East Lawn Park and took a look at the site, and that's the one we have up here on the screen. And we looked at the current condition of that tennis court, and this is a professional asphalt guy, and he looked at it and said he didn't feel that it was cost-effective to do any repairs to it, that it should probably come out. And I said, okay, if we're going to do that, then let's create potentially in the open space or in conjunction a battery of 6 courts, you know, brand new. You know, if we got to replace that anyway. And he came back to me with an estimate, and this included almost a turnkey from, you know, bare ground to a playable facility with fencing and everything, and it was $200,000. And I'm like, that seems a bit high. When Eschwabenen did their facility in, I think it was 2014, this one, that whole thing, which was the courts plus the basketball court and the four square and everything, I believe Rex said that was like $120,000. But then again, that was 4 years ago. We did learn this year that asphalt prices and construction prices are through the roof, as our street department found out with some of their estimating for road work and whatnot. So, you know, my gut tells me that we're probably looking in the 100,000 to 125,000 range if we're going to build a battery of 6 quarts, brand new. You know, with that, also time of year. You know, this getting estimates this time of year versus getting estimates in the off season prior to construction season. Estimates this time of year are always higher than you can get when guys are looking to first bid work for, say, the springtime, if that makes sense. So, you know, they fluctuate a little bit throughout the year. So those are some numbers that I had with regards to...
For 6 quarts, we're talking 200,000 currently.
Or, yeah.
No matter where we...
No matter where those would go, correct. Not utilizing any of our existing, you know, quarts that are that can be, could potentially be refurbished or anything like that.
Is there some reason why this would take precedent over anything that we kind of have laid out in our capital improvement program and just kind of jump up to the head of the list at a time when asphalt prices are high? I mean, is there some reason for that? Kind of makes sense that we would look at this along with the overall package of our laid out plan and see where it can fit in and hope for mm-hmm. better prices.
Do we have the funding available in the first place? I mean, are we able to do anything? Or like Angela right. said, it's something, was there something in the works
right.
that this would take its place?
To start with, to answer Angela's question, is there any high prioritization for pickleball courts? I would say no. It's no different than any other amenity that could go into a park, into the park system. I personally feel that fixing our parking lots and our roadways in, say, Green Isle Park are a higher priority than
and something already laid out in our plan, right?
Correct, yeah. Correct. We did have the repairs of fixing this tennis court in East Lawn was in our plan to do mm-hmm. this year or next year, within the next couple of years. But that was in the impression, under the assumption that it was just doing some surface repairs
yeah.
to it, you know, and then recoding it type of thing.
Yeah.
So...
I think you kind of answered my question because I was wondering about what projects would this replace, and this would, I guess,
mm-hmm.
trump the road
right,
work
right.
in Green Isle if we were to put this. And they
yeah.
seem like they wanted it for tournaments, or they wanted to
mm-hmm.
get going because their courts
yeah.
are...
Well,
yeah,
yeah from my understanding is, you know, with the numbers of players and the growth of the sport, just lack of facilities in the area in general. I did receive an email this past week that the Packerland pickleball players had been working with the city of Green Bay, and it looks like the city of Green Bay has approved $50,000 to put in dedicated pickleball courts at Edison Park. And it looks like the Packerland pickleball players fundraised $10,000 to help to go along with City of Green Bay's funding.
How are they able to do it for... So
I don't know, and I haven't been able to
okay.
Talk to anyone. I don't know if that's creating, building brand new courts. I don't know what that $60,000 is for.
Yeah, okay.
I cannot imagine it's building brand new courts. So.
Yeah.
What was the name of the lady that was sitting right where Leah is sitting right now? I want to say Barb. Was that her name?
Next to Bob.
Yeah.
Bob's wife.
No.
Beth?
Beth Lemke.
That's Jessica.
Is that correct? Yes.
She had mentioned something about running for a grant.
Correct.
That's right.
Correct.
Have,
and we,
have
and
we reached
and
out to her?
And she actually reached out to me and helped me. We did write for a grant through the Green Bay Packers Foundation.
Okay.
So we submitted that. Don't know where we're, you know, I believe we find out in the fall.
What amount did you request then? Did it factor in your estimate that you got?
It's, I believe it was $5,000 or something like that. I don't recall. It was not a whole lot. But I'd have to double check. I don't have that handy.
They usually don't disperse it until it's completed.
Okay.
So.
We currently have some courts that are lined for pickleball, don't we?
We do. We have courts at Langley Park and at Kiwanis Park that are on the tennis courts.
Yeah, correct.
Looking further down on our agenda, item number 9 is our capital improvement ideas.
Mm-hmm.
Should we take this discussion to that discussion? That's for 2020, that's for next year.
Right.
Or you have there's no action on it, it's just discussion.
Yeah, as far as the capital improvement, item number 9. Yeah. Correct, that's just discussion.
Yeah, I feel that after we heard the presentation, I definitely agree that it's something we should have in the village, and I would definitely like to see it happen. But we were initially looking at it as, like you said, it would just be some repairs there, we could work it in, great. But hearing that it would need to be completely put in, I feel like it needs to be a broader discussion along with our other capital improvements.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree, especially your part about kind of getting it in the queue with the full kind of complement of what has already been considered for the CIP. Also, though, if this is in the budget to be redone as tennis, we've theoretically got a budget in there, placeholder.
Correct.
So we're going to have to do something with that East Lawn tennis court in the next couple of years anyway.
Correct.
So maybe it is in the queue and it's just a matter of we need to make that decision by the time that one goes, what it's going to be.
Sure.
Is that...
Yep.
Or maybe alter it now that you found out that it's not a repair, it's a replacement, so look at the capital from that perspective.
Correct.
And if we are going to do dedicated pickleball courts, you know, I really feel that would be a good location for it.
That was a question I had. That's a good. Yeah. Okay, yeah, I'm struggling with the location in the community if it's the right location, but
yeah, no, you know, I think there's enough space there. Mm-hmm. You know, you've got already some capacity for parking. It's not visible. It's off the beaten path, but pickleball players will find it. It's
right.
That's not the problem.
And I think you discussed that this isn't heavily used for tennis currently, so it's
correct.
Yeah,
I mean,
so
you don't want to mess with Green Isle. That's a popular tennis place.
Okay.
And I think Langley's a kind of a popular tennis place. I don't think you want to mess with those. This, I think, would provide us the best option to do something, but at quite a cost, apparently.
My notes from last time said this park, East Lawn, also has restrooms that need renovation. Does that change anyone's thoughts on its viability for pickleball?
Those probably should be renovated
regardless.
Matter what we would do with renovating that park.
Any other discussion?
I guess we like this part. It seems like makes sense.
Okay. Any other thoughts on any other locations or any other options with regards to direction that you think that I should focus my efforts on?
Well, I'm thinking in this particular case, we had the capital improvement to redo this particular park.
Yeah.
For the tennis courts and the bathrooms. So if it's a matter of, to quote you, it's in queue now, you know, just earmark it as pickleball courts. If we're going to go that route
sure.
If we have the opinion of one person that says it's not worth saving, rip it all out and redo it, I would want to get the opinion of two others. Yeah, because sometimes, you know.
No, I understand.
Yeah.
And yes.
But if that location is already earmarked and that location needs the work and that location is already in the capital improvement, that would seem to be the likely case to go, where $5,000 from the Green Bay Packers on a grant would be a nice little slide it into that improvement. How much did we have earmarked for that bathroom and park in the capital?
For the tennis courts, it was $12,000, I believe. And then...
And where did we get that bid from?
Double check. That was from a previous court that we had renovated. Where did I put my notes? Mm-hmm. There we go. I guess I had $10,000 in here for that. And then I'm not sure if I had a number for the shelter building. At least not in here within the next 5 years. Nope.
Is it an age thing or an accessibility thing on the bathrooms?
Accessibility.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering, the two things I'm thinking about regarding our gap is pickleball's demographic. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe we can study, is there AARP grants for livability and fitness or something, you know, and then with accessibility, is there some sort of, like those are really specific types of fixes that I wonder if we can even dig deeper on the grant aspect.
Sure.
And
sure.
Find the gap and, yeah.
Okay.
Look at this when it comes.
Or even put it back on that Packer Line Pickleball group to like, okay,
sure.
This is how much we have. This
right.
is what we could do.
Yeah.
What can you do to help us?
Right, because they obviously raised some funds in the city of Green Bay.
Yeah. Yep. To help us make it happen you know, sooner rather than needing to punt a little bit on it.
Okay.
In the meantime, I'd say just to verify that, like Lang Light and Kiwanis, are those zones that are lined, that those still are just accessible for pickleball.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's our short-term answer. Yes, we have courts, but they're dual-purpose courts.
Right.
I'm not sure how much they get used for pickleball or even people know that they're lined for pickleball.
Mm-hmm.
If we want to have a pickleball presence, that's currently what we have.
Sure.
Well, in that particular group that was in here said that if it wasn't, correct me if I'm wrong, but if it wasn't designated a pickleball court, that they would not promote it.
I believe you're correct.
Yeah.
Yep. That they don't advertise as this is a place to play.
Yeah.
And within their realm of people. Mm-hmm. Correct. Correct.
So. Yeah, there's some lofty numbers that go into it, and it's not budgeted the way I thought it was. I mean, obviously $10,000 isn't going to get us to where we need to go.
No.
Even another $5,000 from the Packers, if that were to happen, is $15,000, and we're talking $70,000 minimum,
so
you know, to get there.
Yeah.
So I mean, this is tough, and I, you know, I'll go on record as saying I, you know, maybe general maintenance is more of a priority right now than pickleball courts. I mean, I love being progressive. I like, you know, I like having that, but we can't just manufacture the money either.
Do you want action on this?
If I could, and it sounded like there was a consensus with location, which is good, then maybe
just
a timing?
To consider it in our next CIP update, or...
No, that's a good point, because that's coming up soon, within the next...
Well, would it be fair to consider an action item as getting some hard numbers? Because right now we're really not talking about anything. We're talking about guesses.
Sure, sure.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
You know, just applying numbers for something we did in the past. Well, you know, we'll apply that there. Let's get some hard numbers on it and let's get three estimates and see what happens. I mean, I think that's the only way we're going to be able to make an intelligent decision on it.
Okay.
Because otherwise, we sit and we guess, and I'm not in that line of work. You can't guess that.
And that might help us look for some community partnerships to do it, or grants, you know, once we have hard numbers of what it would take.
Okay.
I have a question regarding these estimates that you get. Sure. So when you talk with these asphalt guys, is it becoming standard practice now to not have PAHs in the asphalt? Is that something that talk with them about, or make it a condition or anything? You know, I thought,
explain.
Oh, I thought, please. I thought Alloway was part of the workshop that they had, educating municipalities about PAHs, chemicals in asphalt, that you can get asphalt without PAHs, which is, I don't remember what the acronym stands for, but it's a host of chemicals that all of our roads, it washes off into our water. Kids playing on the courts or whatever are, absorbing it. And, so a lot of communities all over, I think all of Milwaukee County, or maybe just the city of Milwaukee has, and Madison has, made it by ordinance that you can't use PAHs in asphalt.
Free asphalt.
Yeah, and I know Sheboygan, they don't do it either.
Okay.
Maybe it's worth a conversation with Trevor. I think maybe Trevor was registered for the workshop.
Okay.
Somebody, I thought, from LA went to the workshop. Okay. It was held by Clean Wisconsin.
I think I do recall seeing something about that, but yeah, but I'm not, don't have a lot of knowledge.
I'll make it. I'll just send you what information I have.
Okay, good, good.
So the action is to find out, get some more quotes.
It's some hard numbers.
Okay.
Some
all right.
Numbers.
Is you? That a motion?
Huh?
I think
from you?
That's a motion.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll make a motion to from an action standpoint in the pickleball courts to get some hard numbers. And sooner than later.
Okay.
We're kind of running out of the season. Utilizing East Lawn Court and applying the budget that was already applied in the capital improvement. That's a heck of a motion, but...
That captures everything
else.
Good.
Would anybody like to second that motion?
I'll second that.
Okay, seconded by Danielle. Any other discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? All right, so we'll move forward with getting quotes on this one.
Sounds good. Well, thank you very much. Good discussion, too. That was good. Thank you.
Next item, number 8, discussion action, spraying herbicides for broadleaf weeds on park lawns.
I wanted to bring this to the committee. And Lee, maybe you've got a little bit of history farther back than since I've been here on, maybe what has been done in the past with our park areas and spraying dandelions, for lack of a better term, in the parks. I did get a request from one park neighbor that was complaining about all the dandelions in a park and why doesn't the village spray them. Since I've been here, we've never done that, with the exception of athletic fields. We, in our athletic fields, we do fertilization and weed maintenance for the health of the turf because of the use of those type of facilities. But in general, park lawn areas, we never, from my knowledge, sprayed for dandelions, spray herbicides to kill the weeds. This particular person had said that, her and her neighbors spray their lawns. Why doesn't the village spray the park, to kill the weeds? But that was one person that's contacted me on that. On the other hand, I have had several individuals over the past several years contact me with concerns about spraying chemicals in the parks. Even say we're spraying Roundup on weeds in a landscape bed. They're wondering what it was, and we explained to them, and they're good, but they... had concerns with, say, the general grass areas and that. So, with regards to estimated costs, which I
did talk to a gentleman that has been, a company that has been doing our athletic fields over the past several years, and if we were to do all of our general park areas, excluding the athletic fields that we currently do, probably an extra $2,500 a year. So,
is that a hard number from him?
Yes, yes. That what he gave me was an acreage, a per acreage cost of what it would cost for him to do it, and
cheap.
I thought so too. Yeah.
For the amount of acreage,
I thought you were going to say a month.
No, no, and that's just a one-time spray.
Yeah, just a one. Okay.
But well, if and I added it up, you know, all of our parks don't necessarily have manicured lawn turf, you know, and that's what we're talking about is manicured lawn turf. It really adds up to only about 45 acres, if you, you know, and I'm not talking about the
2,500 times 45 acres. Is that what you're talking about?
2,500 total.
Oh, for the
to
whole
do the 45.
Oh, so you divide it.
Correct.
By the
correct.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I know. All of a sudden, that number's got a couple of times.
Yeah, that's
it's
a big
kidding.
Number. Holy cow.
Yeah.
No, so, so the cost is one thing. Public perception is another.
Yeah.
And, you know, and the need. So, I wanted to bring it to the committee.
I'll do my best to keep my opinion out of it and instead state that you're going to have people on both sides of the fence, so why spend the money? You know, you're going to have people complain about the pesticides. I feel like dandelions are pretty low threat. They're not even here year round. They provide pollinators, you know, nectar. So, I think the threat of the chemical exposure is worse than a few dandelions earlier in the season. But that's just my opinion. Keeping that out, I'll just strictly say that there's going to be people on both sides of the fence. So why spend money?
I can say that I don't think this has ever been brought
to
the committee before.
Okay.
You can check with Brad,
okay.
But I don't recall us ever having this issue come up before.
Other communities, I know when I worked in Howard, we never, other than athletic fields, we didn't do general park areas. City of Appleton did spray theirs in selected parks. I don't know if they did them all. And they did that work in-house, and this was 15, 20 years ago, too. So they might have changed their operations since then. I don't know. But I don't know of many communities around that do that, you know, in their general manicured park area, you know, with the exception of, like I said, athletic fields.
No, I would echo that. In my experience locally is less, but in the communities I've worked in throughout the Midwest, it's generally not a practice. And generally, if it has been a practice, it's changing because of the pollinator concern and the pesticide concern.
Yeah.
Generally, what I'm hearing and the research I've read and my work life is generally it's an aesthetic issue, right? So it's we buy into a lawn as an important thing for one reason, but we're there are other reasons to not spray, and so I would tend to be an advocate for not spraying as well.
I mean, I like a lush green lawn, but my concern is, you know, the majority of our parks are, you know, run along the East River, and I'm finally starting to see that river cleaning up. Do we really need that runoff going into there for the sake of a couple of yellow dandelions? Yeah, I mean, I do know what you mean about the broadleaf because I do walk those trails all the time. And with it, those broadleaf, I don't even know what kind of weeds they are, but they're pretty extensive through Green Isle Park, with the exception of the athletic fields. I mean, they are pretty prevalent.
Yep.
Yeah, they have kind of taken over the grass, and I think probably more so this year than any other year because maybe of the excessive moisture that we had.
Yeah.
Sure.
Know,
because
sure.
they can just... They grow better than grass in that wet turf. And it's wet. Boy, I'm telling you, it's, there's still standing water in that park. So,
yeah,
among
well,
other parks.
And seeing that, seeing this on the action item, I did pull information from again, where I moved from in Minnesota, about the BLON work that the U of M has been doing and the Minnesota Extension has been doing, and they're actually overseeding lawns with broadleaves or kind of non-grass in order to increase diversity and make the lawn do something useful besides look pretty. So if anyone's interested, I'm happy to share that or just submit it.
And is that for more for the pollinators?
Absolutely, for the pollinators, sure. Yeah, I've got something from the U of M Bee Lab. So they just did a really big facility, and they're doing a big push on the study. So Marla Spivak, if anyone's familiar with her, is an incredible professor of whatever the bee science word is. I'm not up on that, but I brought that. It's called Flowering Bee Lawns for Pollinators. It's an article, what is it, why, all that. There's a document from the Minnesota Landscape Arboretum about bee lawns. They actually have a trial for how to transition lawns. Is it more effective to tear it up and start over, or just kind of scruff up the surface and seed over it? So people can see that, residents and anyone can see that and see how it's working, and they have recommendations. There's another U of M study with a few different folks about helping pollinators by planting a bee-friendly lawn, and it's stepped. This one's angled more at residents. And then there's also Blue Thumb, which is an organization out of Minnesota also, but they angle at residents. They do a lot of stormwater management training and handbooks and whatnot, but they also have something called the Turf Alternative Series. So I apologize, all my examples are Minnesota, but that's where I spent my life. So, and they've been taking it very seriously. In fact, I think the state legislature has put forth money for residents to get small grants to do bee lawns in their own homes.
I'd be interested in those materials.
Absolutely, yep. I brought paper copies, but I'm happy to email them to you or PDF if you like.
So do we want to go on record as being a pollinator-friendly community?
That would be awesome.
I would.
Wouldn't like be the first in the area. Right. Even bring that issue
that's
up.
That's a great
it's
way.
On my list.
Good.
Right. I guess we're looking for action.
Yes,
on
please.
This. Yep. So if anybody would like to, I guess to speak to what you were saying before too, is it's kind of been the practice. Kind of been the ongoing policy to not spray.
Correct.
So we're kind of keeping with our consistency.
Correct.
So if anybody would like to make more.
I guess I would move that we do not spray them based on the pros outweighing the cons in doing so. I guess it's the easiest way to word it. And if the resident would like more details, I'd be happy to share additional information with her about the benefits of not.
I think it's an issue of cost as well as kind of the emerging information on pollination that we want to just continue our practice the way that it's been.
Yeah.
I add that to the motion.
Sure.
Second.
How
do you second that?
Any discussion? Anybody have any further discussion? All those in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
All those against? All right, the motion passes. So,
on that, I've got a question for what is it that we're spraying around the post and things of that nature to eliminate weed eating? Is that
typically
Roundup?
Yeah. So. Typically glyphosate, which is Roundup. So,
it's really ugly.
Okay.
I mean, all those spots that are burnt out, is it that labor intensive to weed eat a couple, three times a year?
It typically takes quite a bit of staff time. And right now, when we've got six summer staff, it's not quite so bad and the grass isn't growing. But in the spring and the fall, when we don't, it gets quite extensive. So can it be limited? We can definitely take a look at that.
And get a tighter spray nozzle.
Yeah, we can definitely take a look at that, though. Okay. No, thanks.
Item number 9, discussion of the fiscal year 2020 parks capital improvement ideas.
Yes. Just wanted to have a discussion and see if there's any items that the committee wanted us to look at trying to get into our 2020 budget with regards to capital improvements in the parks. Just to give you a few items that kind of are on the radar already, and a couple that we've talked about, pickleball courts being one, East Lawn building remodel being another one. Obviously, Green Isle parking lots, which we had slated for this year and are currently funded for through our borrowing, are going to be done next year. It's a two-year borrowing cycle anyway, so typically you can do that work within those that two-year time frame. But because of some of the work that we did with a consultant engineer and the some of the permitting required, it took us into the season a little bit too long, and then looking at the cost estimates and the bids that were coming in, we decided to wait until later this fall to bid that stuff out, so we'll get better pricing and have the work done next year. And then in 2021, we'll do the roadways within Green Isle Park. So it's rather than doing it with a year in between, we'll just do it back-to-back years. And that's through our borrowing, along with our street reconstructions and that. So, another item that's kind of on the list is a kayak launch down at Kayakers Point.
That's not what we need to put in a grant for.
And you're correct. There are grants. Yep. There are grants available for that. Several different types of grants. Correct. In 2021, we do have to do our comprehensive outdoor rec plan update. So that's an item that we'll need to budget for. I believe last time we had budgeted $12,000 or $15,000, and we ended up getting it for like $7,500. Yeah. It was a very good deal that we had that. So, another item coming up down the road that we're working with some partners on 2022 time frame is a bridge over the East River to the dog park. We've been talking with Village of Bellevue, friends, I guess they're friends of the Mazikowski Dog Park, and some other options for splitting costs on that. And then continuing on with other parking lots within our parks in the next 5 years, Kiwanis Park, Webster, overflow parking along by Riverview Park along East River Drive, some of those things. So those will be coming up.
And
that's paving, correct. And Green Isle Playground replacement.
Oh, definitely.
Yes. And that looks like that was in the 2022 time frame as well. And with that one, and I believe we discussed that either last year or the year before, of wanting to put in that rubberized surfacing along with it, which obviously boosts that price up. But so those are some options.
Or you can get some chips.
right. You get plenty of chips.
To
put in there. So, but so I just wanted to bring it to the committee and
playground made out of wood.
Yeah. Not that we need to take any action on anything, but just to see if anybody had any thoughts or ideas or things that we should be focusing on or looking to for next year's budget and even down the road as well. Maybe we, you can look in our comprehensive outdoor rec plan and see some of those things that we had in the time frames and that. But just wanted to kind of open it up and see if anyone had any thoughts or ideas on items that they have preference for, think we should, expedite or move up on the list and try to do some of that. Zip line over at the
prison facility in Bay.
I just have, I think, two questions.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is, do we have a budget item on that bridge? That it seems like it would be a really big number.
$300,000.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes. And that doesn't include, I don't believe, any boardwalk that would need to be put in, especially on the Bellevue side.
So. And $300,000 is just like Alloway's completely responsible for.
No,
that's
the total cost of the project.
So potentially could be a split between us.
Correct.
And
Correct. Correct. Okay. You know, and that's another item that maybe we try to get partner with some naming rights or something like that as well.
Does it appear on the dog park?
They do.
Yep. So they might not be as interested to want to participate on that.
No,
because they would benefit from it. And
okay.
just walking the East River Trail and across over to a dog park.
Yeah. Their dog park's way out on the southwest side of town.
Yeah. You know,
so, you know, people who live on the east side aren't going to go all the way over there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm guessing they go to the Bellevue Dog Park.
Right.
Right.
Yes. Maybe
yeah.
So.
My other question was if the Green Isle Park playground renovation is planned for 2022, there's a little bit of time. And it sounds like rubberized surfacing is planned. Have we talked at all, or have you talked about in the past about amping that one up since last, I think you mentioned it once, it's like the crown jewel of our park system,
mm-hmm.
about making that kind of extra accessible, you know, either going full-on inclusive or doing something that kind of plays into that park's presence
mm-hmm.
within our system and sets a standard for, again,
sure.
kind of
sure.
you mentioned... being first,
right.
you know, inclusive playgrounds are still
mm-hmm.
pretty hard to find. I think Madison just made the news a couple of weeks ago because they did another one.
Mm-hmm.
They maybe have two or three, but is there a need for that around here? I'm not here long enough to know.
No, good question. Our playground over here at Optimus Park where America
League
plays
sure.
is probably the best inclusive playground in the Green Bay area.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But... right.
Yeah. No. Right. Yeah. Sorry.
And that one's
yep.
completely, entirely rubber surface.
Yep.
The Port in Place rubber surface. But I also agree with your comment about the crown jewel, and I think in our budget estimate that we've come up with for that playground replacement, we're thinking of expanding that a lot bigger than what it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and providing, you know, more play options and different things like that. So, yeah, I don't disagree.
Yeah, just, I would think, as
like
that
idea
that
too.
Moves
I'd
forward.
Be in favor of moving that one up.
Mm-hmm.
It just, we've got, sounds like we've got time to think about it, but
mm-hmm.
that might be something, if it's not designed yet, we've already planned for the rubberized surface. Sometimes that's
mm-hmm.
the most expensive part in
yep.
making things, you know,
yep.
more accessible. So it's the features, then, that we need to be real thoughtful about.
We were on vacation this July and went to a couple parks in other cities. And it's just so interesting to see what other, well, this is, I shouldn't say other cities, but it was Seattle.
Okay.
And just kind of to see what they do in their parks, because our kids were getting a little antsy. We felt like they were going all this boring stuff. We're like, okay, we need to take them to a park.
Yeah.
So we found one, and they kind of like activate it on the weekends where they pull out like foosball tables and
mm-hmm.
ping pong, and they have a staff person, like they have staff that's literally
okay.
there.
Okay, sure, sure.
And they'll have an arts and crafts table going for kids, and you know, along with
yep.
like the different equipment. So that was kind of an interesting approach. They had a, you know, one of those big Connect Four. But it just adds extra interest where you're not investing in equipment, like big equipment, just
mm-hmm.
some fun outdoor games. That was I thought that was kind of cool. And then by the Space Needle, they had, I don't get out of town so to see what all these other parks have, but they had a, I was thinking of you, Angela, because they had a zero entry merry-go-round. And, oh my gosh, no kids falling on top of each other, like trying to jump, like,
yeah.
up onto the merry-go-round.
We've had this conversation after soccer games.
So it was at the same level as
yeah.
the surface?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, it was really nice.
That takes the fun out of trying to paint one hand.
After a soccer game, go watch that merry-go-round. It's just a death match.
Yeah. They're just falling off. Yeah.
And there's so many piled on. And
That's fun.
It's very scary. So they had some really cool pieces of equipment, a lot of... and then I said they also had, like, sent a message to my friends, like a parent's worst nightmare piece of equipment, because it was this giant spider web thing, and you've got 100, 150 kids climbing this thing, because it leads up to these big slides. Yep. And
AKA the best playground ever.
Right?
My older one loved it. Yeah, was letting the little one on there. He wanted to go.
That was for adults.
One of their parks, they have a smaller version, and he tried going on that one, and cried. So, but they just had, it's just really interesting to see the different pieces of equipment and the merry-go-round. Yeah. I was like, yes! Yes, that's so wonderful. And then it was all the, you know, the squishy surface too. Right. But.
No, that's when we go to our professional conferences.
Oh, I'm sure.
Things like that. A lot of times, you know, in the expo hall or whatever, they have all these new items set up.
Yeah.
And it's just amazing.
I bet that's really
cool. Some of the things.
If only I had unlimited amounts of money.
Right?
But it's like with the Seattle, you know, it's a lot, you know, a lot of high density housing, so their parks are pretty active. And it was also interesting to see their take on dogs in parks. Well, there's dogs everywhere. Every park is a dog park there. And then in San Francisco parks, you don't have to have your dogs on leashes. It's just very, very interesting.
No, and, you know, that's a perfect example of one thing that Alloway took a lead on, I think, you know, in the area of allowing pets in our parks. And, you know, now you're starting to see more and more communities starting to do that, you know, where in the past it was forbidden. But,
and I will tell you that there's less doggy doos in the park, too, since we've installed those
dispensers.
I got to give those credit because you still see it, but those are the people that are never going to pick it up anyway.
No excuses, right?
There are. It's true. It's less, much less.
I will say I've been, not that I've really done it, but it's like, really, Doug, how many bags do I need to bring along for you? Like, how many accidents?
We bring a minimum two.
Yep.
You're busy. Saving it all for the walk.
Like, boy, that tank's got to be empty pretty soon.
How are the utilization of our soccer fields, Chris? I just don't see as much soccer activity as I used to.
Good question. Especially this year, it doesn't seem like there's as much. Alloway Anchor still utilize, you know, Broadview.
And we have a lot of acres dedicated to soccer.
Right. United Soccer has been utilizing Wheezy Park, Kiwanis, and Doty. Trying to remember. Doty Park. Or Doty School, I should say. And then they've also utilized, occasionally utilized Broadview. We have a couple other organizations that utilize our soccer fields. I kind of agree with you. I don't see the actual bodies on the field as much.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in discussions with the groups, there's claims that there's never enough space. But I think that that's any sport in any
town,
any community that
that's
they, you know,
timing.
Yes, everybody wants it all at the same time, and everyone, I guess it seems like, you know, there's just so many different organizations out there for the various you know, different sports. It sometimes seems like they're spread thin and options like that, so yes, I agree. A lot of acreage.
Yeah, if that's a budget issue or not anymore.
Do you have any wish list items? And when you go to these conferences,
sure.
What kind of cool stuff do you see that could really be make us be a game changer and have everybody.
I guess my wish lists aren't necessarily extravagant things, because I'm at this point more concerned about maintaining what we have, making sure that it's as good as it can be. I think that making sure that our infrastructures are up to par, our asphalts, our parking lots, our
come on, Chris. What do you see that's cool?
Yeah, boring.
We know that there's a town.
Right.
And you did mention zip lines. How about hot air balloons?
Some of the playgrounds, I think, are just really cool. Some of the things that people are doing with... There are playgrounds that have zip lines on them, and different things like that. A lot of, some of the more electronic play items, to try to get the kids that are so involved with their phones and their video games, but get them interacting as well. That's why we put in the one item over here that's more of an electronic play piece of equipment where they have to interact, but it's also flashing lights and sounds and things like that, Boy, yeah, I guess it's hard to say, I would love to see this community utilize the water bodies a lot more than they do, with regards to water sports, paddle sports, things like that. You go to some place like, the Minneapolis area, or even the Madison area, that have lakes, and shoot, people are just flocking.
Yeah. I think you're seeing more and more of that, though. There's a stigma tied to that East River. When I was growing up here on Lyle Street, you didn't put any part of your body in that water.
Yep.
Yeah, because it was pesticides and dirty, and it even smelled bad. And it's getting cleaner and cleaner and cleaner. And now you see paddleboarders out there, and you see kayakers, and you see canoers. Mm-hmm. And I think that's great. Some of the areas, where it butts up into the park, you can actually see the bottom. Mm-hmm. So the retention ponds are working. The education is working. It's taken that long, though.
Yeah.
I'm telling you what, you definitely did not go near that water when I was a kid.
Right.
Same for the Fox River.
Yep.
And the Fox River's been cleaned up immensely too. So to see more water sports, I see 100% improvement in that, and I think it's just going to continue to grow.
But that is an accessibility one. You need to be better at making them accessible.
Correct.
For people who want to use them for boards or kayaks or canoes or whatever.
Yep.
I guess along that vein, I'd like to go back to a suggestion that I know we discussed previously about a kayak launch on the East River, but with a kayak rental station.
Mm-hmm.
To make it where you don't have to have a staff person there. I know I saw an article, I think we even talked about an article out of Minneapolis where they have kayak rentals that's all just automated, where you put in your credit card, get your kayak, and away you go. And it could even be revenue generating for the village.
That's a great idea.
That would be really cool.
That always helps in the budget. So
yep.
Right.
Definitely. Yeah. I'd rent it. For years I've been, I'm going to buy a kayak. I live right here. I should have a kayak.
I'm in the exact same boat. Summer after summer.
Then I think, I have a place to put it.
Well, it's also just more convenient than trying to fish mine.
I've had the same line of thinking summer after summer.
I know. Or you might have one.
Yeah. But a rental one, I would definitely.
Right.
I would too.
Hey, that's a great idea.
I have a couple more ideas, but I don't know how they fit in very well. And it's based on that Green Isle Park playground, based on this year as a litmus for what is water doing in that park. Have we factored in any extra budget for drainage?
Yes. Yeah, with regards to the playground.
The playground.
Yeah, when we redo a playground, drainage, tile and all that stuff goes into the base. So, yes, that's definite.
And then is there any opportunity, there should be an opportunity, I think, for, as that playground's getting developed, to integrate kids into the planning of it?
Yes.
Whether there's an elementary school nearby, like is there a citywide concept competition or engagement or something that's like beyond just like the standard public meeting, show up at City Hall and let's think about it, but like can we be proactive about saying, hey, big opportunity at our Hallmark Park.
Sure.
Kid. Because sometimes, like you said, playgrounds are really expensive, so might it actually be more fun? The kids will tell us, if there's something else.
No, that's a good point. In the past, we've obviously done the public meetings with regards to, giving them options on what they'd like to see, the neighborhood or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But, with this being more of the community-wide park, that might be a good idea of, for sure, reaching out to everyone within the community,
mm-hmm.
Through surveys and maybe competitions, maybe some, other ways to.
My kids are captive audiences out the park for camp.
Yep.
Like they're there all day anyway.
Oh,
like maybe one week it's about park design or it's about park stuff, and they all come out of it with. If anything, you've got some interesting ideas and.
Yep.
Really
and gives kids the opportunity to start expressing themselves and putting their ideas on paper. Yeah, call it a kids' focus group.
Exactly.
You could even do it in a survey form, but especially when you get down to the point where we, maybe cost basis, we have it narrowed down to three or four different playground ideas. I remember us looking at some ideas, and we just chose, we'd like to go with this one. But, that would have been cool to set, have as a survey for kids, which one do you think is most fun, and see what kind of feedback we get.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Foster some civil engineers.
open-ended questions. There's that game my kids play, that would you rather. And so we've done open boxes. Would you rather climb a mountain or, hide in a hole or something?
Okay.
And so it starts to inform form with playgrounds too, and without saying, do you like blue or red?
Yep.
Kind of is, but kind of a little bit different.
Right.
Or draw a picture or, whatever. So that was one other thing. Green Isle Park also has a lot of trees, and I know some communities are thinking about the adventure play, so a low ropes course that's not dangerous. You don't need a helmet, but you can do something that's a little bit unusual. And again, it's a way of doing play, but it's not like every park doesn't need a slide and swings and a merry-go-round. Even those are super fun. Is there a way to utilize the context of the park,
right,
whether it's water or trees or something, within a budget, within a container, but maybe there's a, I don't know. And then the other thing I was thinking about related to pavement is, and I think it kind of keys into something we talked about a couple weeks ago or last May, is are all the pavements that we're rehabbing, do we know they're necessary? So probably a lot of them are, but are there any parking areas that are sometimes not used so much? Maybe they could be structured turf instead. Again, thinking about stormwater management and the impact everything we do, even on parks land, has on the watershed and everything. That might be. I know there's a cost offset, right? When we change a tennis court to pickleball, it's not just a one-for-one trade, but long-term there might be a benefit that kind of gets us to our bigger goals.
Okay.
That's all.
Is this a brainstorming?
Do we have an official sliding hill in Alloway?
Yes.
We do.
Webster Park.
At Webster Park.
Okay.
During the fall, it's a conditioning course for the Buccaneers.
Right. Matt used to run up that hill.
And then in the winter time, when it snows, if we get enough snow, then it's a sliding hill. Yep.
But is it really officially a sliding hill, or do kids just use it as
No, it's officially.
So we maintain it as one?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Good to know.
That's a good point, though, to think about winter activities.
Yeah, we always took Matt to Joston in Bellevue.
Yep.
Yeah, I didn't realize Webster was.
What's the cost to get one of them rope pulley systems that
pull you up to the top. Is that
very expensive? Because we looked at it when I was in Howard.
Okay.
All right. Now they have magic carpet.
I know.
That was cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's
okay.
No, that's part of the fun is walking all the way back up.
That's right.
I don't know about the fun. It's part of the activity.
Right?
That way the kids aren't there all day. I'm tired. Let's go.
I can always drive them up to the top of the restaurant.
There you go.
All right. So item 10, future agenda items. Are there any items the committee wishes to have on a future agenda?
Next agenda, let's bring the capital improvements and discuss, because I didn't bring it.
I didn't bring mine. Only one did.
Might be a good idea to have that. And another thing, maybe to put on the agenda, and Chris, you brought it up earlier, and I guess I'd like to even have more discussion on it, is maintaining what we currently have. What's the plan? What are we doing? What needs to be done? Because I, along with other residents, can only see what we can see. Mm-hmm. You know, what's behind the curtains? You know, what are we doing? How are we addressing it?
Very good, very good.
This isn't on the agenda, but when are you thinking of meeting next, Chris? Would we be, because I know like last summer we didn't meet, but because correct. We had such cruddy weather, kept having the kept coming up.
Right.
So are we going to meet and are we going to try to meet every month?
We definitely can. You know, making sure first of all that we, you know, we can get as many here to meet, but yeah, definitely. It's on our schedule, you know, monthly, yeah. To meet monthly. I think, in the past, the committee had chosen to kind of take the summer months off because a lot of people were on vacations and whatnot. And then last year, maybe it happens every year, but in December, it's always right around Christmas time. So, you know, I think this past year was actually Christmas Day. So, December.
Yeah, we didn't meet much this.
I'm not a huge fan of meetings, but I think if we can have at least three people show up for one of these, a minimum of four for each one of these meetings is fine.
Items.
Yeah, I think it's important that we continue to dialogue.
Sure.
And honestly, you can run the meeting. If you've got something that you can't make it, you know, I ran meetings before. I could do it. So, but at least we keep the conversation going.
Sure. No, that's good. That's good.
How have Movies in the Park been going?
Very good. Very good. Good weather this year, which is always that iffy thing, is the weather. But Matt said that the turnouts have been great. Unfortunately, the bugs, I think, last time were a little...
Yeah,
you know, but that's...
the peak season now.
Right, yeah, exactly. But has been great turnouts. And, you know, the movies have been very good family movies that made a lot of turnouts. So.
I didn't make any movies, but I made Pooches and Pints.
That was fun.
That was really cool, too.
Well done.
Great night. Yeah, really well done.
Good.
I don't even have a dog.
No.
I went for the pints.
Wow. You went for the pints. And the music. Good.
And I brought the dog, but didn't have a pint. So, you know, together we're a whole.
No, and this
I
year...
I brought the dog and had 2 pints.
And this year we're doing a second one in October. So, Parktoberfest. So, that
was great.
Yeah. That's been a great event, and pretty excited.
So. Yeah, I just being on the West Coast, my God, they were everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
They were everywhere.
Well, that's last year.
I went to
Texas to visit family in Austin, same thing.
And they're all so good and well-behaved.
Right,
like, mine doesn't act like
exactly.
That. They're so social.
Yeah. I think that's the most recent Wisconsin
statewide comprehensive outdoor recreation plan has the stat of like three quarters of people have dogs. So it's like dogs and dog related park things are rising as fast as trails and mountain bike trails. Like those
I believe it.
You know, within parks and park systems, and pets are just blowing up.
And those are great events too, because they don't cost anything. You know,
sure.
I mean, you don't have to put it in your capital improvement. You know, I mean, you can just say, yeah, let's do two next year.
Exactly.
It's minimal.
Or open your parks up to allow people bring their pets in. So, well, great.
Do you need a motion to adjourn? Or do I just call it?
I will make a motion to adjourn.
I'll second
Thank
it.
Thank you. All those in favor?
Aye.
Adjourned at 7 p.m.
Perfect.
Good meeting.
Yeah.